One thing that I appreciate you for and people like you is that when people reach a certain level of social, I wouldn't say status, okay, of a social level, I would say, is that they become hard to approach. And you know, for us, we podcasters who, you know, there are different type of podcasts. There are guest oriented podcasts and there are just self oriented podcasts.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you're trying to get the guests, it's like his DMs are all locked. You must send an email to his assistant. His assistant replies whenever they feel like and everything. So it's very hard to reach such people. And even some want to pay. To me, it's very annoying.
Yeah.
And
it's stupid.
But I want people to be free. You know, let your socials engage with the people, engage with the listeners, engage with your crowd. Even if you're a musician, even if you're a politician, be engaged. Don't reach a certain position and shut down everything, and you know.
I'm from a beautiful place, the Pearl of Africa. Hailing with a 256, it's in my blood. That's a gem where the mountains rise. With stories untold, the tapestry of cultures unfolding, so vibrant and bold. A symphony of stars, a celestial light. The drums beating, echoing through the night, just like a beacon of light. A reflection that's coming up from the Nile. I'm flowing straight into the heart of Africa with timeless stories untold. Shut up.
Just like that, to what Katandika. But for one thing I want to do, I like to do nowadays for my listeners, is to run through somebody's bio. And I got your bio, Rugaba. Rugaba John Paul is a 25-year-old Ugandan, and he's the founder and the CEO of Sangyin Media. Is that how you pronounce it? Sangyin Media Group,
Sangyin,
a media company that mainly focuses on redefining the African narrative through podcasts, events, studio journals. He's a software engineer by profession, having graduated from Zheng Zung Hung University. He's going to correct these pronunciations. I'm going to butcher them,
Genjo.
But he's good. Yeah?
Genjo
University.
Yeah.
Currently, he's a master's student of computer science at Central China Normal University. He's also the current leader at Wuhan. Is that the right pronunciation?
Yeah, Wuhan.
Wuhan, Uganda Students Association in China, and previously served various leadership roles at the Uganda Student Association in China. He's very passionate about adventure, socializing, writing, and leadership. So welcome to my podcast, Mr. Rugaba John Paul.
Thank you so much. I'm deeply humbled to be among the, you know, the top podcasts in Uganda. So yeah.
The
blessings.
I appreciate it. I love when I get to meet new people. This is the best exciting part of my podcast, is meeting new people. And I think for me, before people look at money, before people look at fame, before people look at anything, for me, I appreciate meeting new people, because that's priceless. You know, like there's a lot of people out there that are like, I know that guy. Or a guy in Mumani, like I've had his podcast, like this, you know, like, hey, I talked to that guy. For me, I like that more than money, more than anything. So to get to meet new people is always exciting. So welcome again on the podcast, and I'm so excited for the conversation we're going to have today.
Yeah, indeed. It's going to be a good conversation.
Yeah.
I feel it. So trust me, it's going to be good.
So before we started recording, and I think it was before we started recording, you told me you did a marathon of my videos of my podcast. Before you did that, when was the first time you came across the Ugandan Boy Talk Show? How did you find the Ugandan Boy Talk Show?
There's a long story and a short story. So I think I'll start with the short story.
Okay.
The short story, recently, I think it was on your 180th episode, you had hosted Chibirige Desire,
mm-hmm.
is a poet.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the last poet you hosted.
Yeah.
And I had also hosted him on my podcast. So when I saw his feed and your podcast was there, I was like, oh, I've had the Ugandan Boy podcast before. So I listened to his episode, and I liked the way you were asking him questions. And the funny thing is that when you asked him that question usually ask at the end, recommend someone who to be on your podcast. He recommended me.
Yeah. So, oh, really?
So it kind of made me happy. Mm-hmm. So I was intrigued. And then I kept on listening to most of your episodes. I think I listened from around episode 30 to 120.
Wow.
Just marathon.
Wow.
Marathon, you know.
Wow.
Because I'm a fellow podcaster. So when I see someone doing this, I want to know, you know. Mm-hmm. So I became like a fan. Even your previous episode that you just put out, I also listened to it. So that's how I got to know your episode and how you're doing it. Following you on social media, like how you went back home in Uganda and did that.
The live podcast.
Yeah, the live podcast. That was amazing. But then the long story would be Pulse. You know, there was that thing of podcast of the year. And there was your podcast.
So you had had the podcast before I hosted Chibirige, because I think Pulse was done.
Yeah, yeah.
It was done when I hosted Chibirige.
Before,
okay.
But then I didn't really know it. Mm-hmm. You know, it just wasn't be like, okay, yeah they've won, but
who is
this guy? I don't really know it.
Yeah.
But when you hosted Chibirige, that's when I was like, yeah, this is what the podcast is about.
Okay. It's actually funny because you say that. A lot of people didn't know my podcast, or a lot of people might not know my podcast, but I feel like one of the things that have helped me in this journey of podcasting is creating connection and people that I host. You know, it's like I'm building my little family. I don't like to call it a fan base, but like a family, such that in times of that, like when Pulse came out, the people that I hosted on my podcast were the one helping me to push it out. Because a lot of people don't know the Ugandan Boy Talk Show. Like, a lot of people, maybe nowadays people are starting to find it out, like even when I went back to Uganda. But what helped me was the people that I had hosted on the podcast are the ones that were out there reaching out to other people. Like, hey, let's vote. And the word was spreading out. And like, I think that's why most people would wonder, like, how would this guy even win without knowing him? And I was just wondering the same thing, but it's because of the people's love and care, and just seeing people from Mexico, seeing people from China, people from, hey, let's vote, because the voting is open for people around the world. So that's the other blessing that I was telling you at the beginning of, like, yes, you might not know what you're doing right now, but like you're making impact around other people. So I've loved to listen to that story that you just shared. So you knew about my podcast. So the other thing too, like back to you, when you reached out that you wanted to be on my podcast, because obviously when somebody reaches out, I do a follow-up. Who is this guy? What does he do? Where is he from, or something like that. But I think for you, you had told me where you're from, so most of the information I had it. But when somebody requests without a bio, without any information, like I'll have to do my own follow-up, or even to prepare for their interview, I have to know about somebody that I'm going to host, what they do, and the questions for us to have a conversation. So I saw your Instagram page, and I saw you've had some interviews that you've done with people on your own podcast.
Yeah.
And I think you had big conversation with ordinary people. Like, I know that guy, because I think the first Pulse Award, we were in the same category with him. I never got a chance. I've not had a chance to meet him in person, but I know we have a lot of mutual friends that know him, the work he does. It's amazing. I've listened to some of his work, the people that he has hosted on this podcast, and I love it. I appreciate all the Ugandans who are doing podcasting. And for me, I don't look at this as a competition. I look at it as us coming together to spread the word, because what you do is different from what I do and what another person does. So when I see people coming up with podcasts, I just say, yeah, let's do it. Let's go. So I'm excited and happy for the work you do.
Thank you. You know, one thing I want to add I hope that the mindset changes is that I've seen among we Africans, especially where I am currently in China, is that competition, which I don't find it healthy, because, you know, we uplift each other. Everyone is doing their own thing. Let's collaborate. You having a podcast, me having a podcast, let's collaborate. But in most of the spaces I've been, it's more of competition. Mm-hmm. How many guests do I have? If I host this guest shouldn't be on yours. And I don't think the content industry needs that competition. And if that's the case, it will never go far. So I like it when content creators or I help people in any other industry work together, because I believe that's how to take us forward.
Mm-hmm.
This sort of competition, nah, doesn't do it for me.
And the other thing, I hated this from school, is people hiding knowledge from other people. You know, I hated that from school, because you remember when we had these smart people in class, I'm a singer, that kid, you ask him, hey, how did you get to, your answer is 45, how did you get to 45? And he knows the trick on how he got to 45, but he doesn't want to tell you. It's like, man, I'm doing it, me, I'm getting 32. Well, like, what's trick? What did you do? And the guy would not tell you, you know? He will hide that knowledge from you. So in real life, that's what I hate too, because when somebody knows something, like somebody, you'll reach out to me, hey, Bonnie, how did you do this thing that you posted on Instagram? Or how did you come up with this? And I don't want to tell you because you're doing the same thing as I do. I hate that. When somebody reaches out to me and asks me, how did you get to this? I'm going to give you step by step and step by step to how I got, without hiding anything. Because there's a lot of things here. And you never know. Next day, I might be the one reaching out to you. And I'm like, hey, how did you get to this? Like, how can you help me? You know, we're going to need each other. No matter what level you are at in life, you're going to need each other. And you're going to need to help each other. So hiding knowledge won't help you. Because if you share your knowledge with somebody else, it's going to actually make an impact. But keeping it to yourself, it's only going to benefit you, and it's not going to benefit anybody else.
And then another thing I want to add on that is that one thing that I appreciate you for, and people like you, is that when people reach a certain level of social, I wouldn't say status, okay, of a social level, I would say, is that they become hard to approach.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for us, we... podcasters who, you know, there are different type of podcasts. They are guest oriented podcasts and they're just self oriented podcasts. And when you're trying to get the guests, it's like his DMs are all locked. You must send an email to his assistant. His assistant replies whenever they feel like and everything. So it's very hard to reach such people. And even some want you to pay, which to me is very annoying.
Yeah.
And
it's stupid.
But I want people to be free, you know, let your socials be, engage with the people, engage with the listeners, engage with your crowd, even if you're a musician, even if you're a politician, be engaged. Don't reach a certain position and shut down everything. And, you know, I just don't know why people do it. Maybe people do it because of privacy, but I don't know.
It's and I've talked about this before, it's a level of pride. And I ask God every day that whatever you take me, make me not be proud. I want to remember where I came from. And yes, this platform has gained some sort of attention right now. And what you were just talking about, like when we get to that part, you're like, ah, on a guy, he only has 200 followers. Tenacha agenda kunyamba. You know, like this guy only has 2 followers. Like there's nothing he's going to add from me. And I don't want to lose myself in that. You're like, okay, now you've got some sort of attention. Now you're looking at these celebrities, all you want to host. No, I want to still stay on my roots of giving people a platform and using this platform for people to find out about other people. There's been a lot of feedback from people that tell me, like, hey, I got to know this person through your podcast, Mbadisimo Mani. Like, I didn't know this person. And then they start following them from there. And then, hey, I need to do this. Can I connect with the person you had on the podcast? They talked about they do this and this and this and this. So then that connection, that sort of connection, so we're all like in a team. And that's what I want. And that's what I pray, that I keep doing that. And I appreciate that you notice that. That reflects to me that I'm still on the right track of like talking to people and communicating to people. And I mean, sometimes things happen. Like, you know, we were supposed to record this yesterday, but like... Yeah. Then things happen, but then you reschedule. I don't know if some people will take it as, oh, a guy is trying to avoid. Actually, you reached out before even I went to Uganda. So that's how long, that's how long this podcast has been due, because you reached out before I went to Uganda. But we finally did it. We're finally recording it. And I'm excited for the people to get to know about your podcast and what you do. My first question for you is going to be, why did you start your podcast? Like, where did you get the idea to start your podcast?
Nice question. As usual, it's a long story and a short story. So I'll start with the long story. The long story is, originally I'm a writer, and I've written many articles in many platforms, you know, especially during the times of COVID. I'll get to that chapter later. But during the times of COVID, and there was a lot of misinformation coming from here in China, and you know, it was a lot talking around. And I thought, me being at the epicenter, I could give some, you know, perspective from someone who is going through it. So in there, I won some awards, some competitions, and you know, some of my articles were highlighted in the New Vision back home. And I also started my blog site. But then I wanted a platform where I could, like right now what we're having, where I could talk about my perspectives, you know, what I write about, what I think, you know. But most of the media platforms or podcasts at the time that I was reaching out to, like Arya said, the DMs were blocked. Those that allowed wanted me to pay. And, you know, it just messed me up, because I asked myself, if someone does not have the money, or someone is not, you know, big enough, that means they cannot share what they have. And me having a computer background, I was like, okay, I think I can do it by myself. And so-and-so did it. Let me do it. So I went, spent about 3 days total nonstop going on YouTube, searching how to start a podcast. And
what year was this? You said, was it in COVID?
Yeah. Okay. So I started a podcast in August 2022.
Okay.
And during the time that I was looking for people to engage with me, that was 2021, 2022. It was a very difficult time because, you know, no one was allowing. Those that were allowing wanted you to pay. Mm-hmm. It was tough. So I started it August 2022 with my roommate, who is also my best friend. Shout outs to him as my first guest.
And you didn't say his name.
Samin. Now,
are you protecting his name or what? He doesn't want to be put in spotlight.
I think he wants to be famous. He's called Enoch Akwasi.
Okay. Shout out Enoch Akwasi.
He's from Ghana. He's my guest number one.
Okay.
The one who believed in me, mm-hmm, at that point. But I named it Sanyin. And I get asked this question everywhere.
I was going to ask you, so I'm glad you're talking about it.
I was looking for a name to give it because among the things that I was writing for is that I'm a very, I wouldn't say Pan-Africanist, but the moment you leave Uganda or leave Africa and go abroad, you face a lot of discrimination.
That's true.
You feel like you're being judged because of your color, not because of who you are. And you see some things that are just not right, even among we, the Africans. So I was writing about that, trying to give that we Africans, we have a history also. Our history didn't start in 1960. Our history is over 1,000 years. And I was writing it to fellow Africans just for them to read and feel some sort of pride in them. And so I wanted the podcast to be a platform through which, and that's the main aim, through which the African diaspora, mm-hmm, can sit down and talk about their works, you know, their stories, you know, so that someone who is either back home in Uganda or someone who is in Thailand, US, mm-hmm, can listen in and be like, yeah, my fellow black guys, mm-hmm, are doing something, you know, there's something out there that they're doing, which I didn't have when I was this side. You know, mm-hmm, every time you go on CNN, Al Jazeera, digital media, it's just negative, negative, mm-hmm, negative. You know, like right now, the top story coming from Africa are Senegalese elections, which, yeah, have a lot of, you know, and Congo War.
Congo War, like, I was going to say the Congo War, yeah.
Yeah, but I believe there's something positive happening in maybe Malawi that, mm-hmm, will never get the light of the day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so I looked for a name that represent Africa. So if you like the African podcast, Ubuntu podcast, all those names were taken. Mm-hmm. Then I said, okay, but I'm in China. Let me use Mandarin. Mm-hmm. And I said, I cannot call it Feijo because in Africa in Mandarin is called Feijo. I said, nah, I don't like it. Nah. Let me call it Voice. And Voice in Mandarin is Sanyin or, mm-hmm, Shenyin. Mm-hmm. And that's how it came about. Sanyin podcast, Voice Sanyin podcast.
Yeah. So yeah, that is good. And that's a good story to it. It's always crazy. It means a lot to me when somebody puts thought in the name. I mean, mine might have come off easy, just self-explanatory Ugandan boy, but listening to you talk about the reason why you started your podcast is like 99.9% the same reason why I started mine. You know, you mentioned about,
really?
Yeah, you mentioned about like living in China in a different country. I live in the US, it's a different country. We go through a lot. Exactly the same things you just shared about, like, what you go through there. And also the other thing is like the perspective of Africa to these foreign countries where we are.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you just mentioned about what is being reported on CNN is like the wall, all the negative stuff, but there's a lot of good stuff that's coming out there. And that's exactly some of the thoughts that I had in there. I'm like, there's a lot of people out there that are doing an amazing work, like in Uganda, and like their stories, you know. And I want to have these people on the podcast to share those stories. And somebody in Thailand, somebody in, like, I was looking at the analytics of my podcast, where it plays the audience. It's all over the world. People in Brazil, Mexico. So it's stories like people, I want people to know that even in Africa, we have people who do these things, photographers, filmmakers, creatives, you know. And that was the purpose of my podcast, Sister, the Ugandan Boy Talk Show, to share the stories. So it's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, true. That is basically it. And I think through small steps like that, we can change the African narrative, you know, because I think COVID made it worse in a way. I don't want to talk about COVID, but let me talk about COVID right now. The thing is that when COVID started here in China, it was a very dark period because, you know, the lockdowns here were really intense. And I always tell someone that if you could live through and survive through the lockdowns in China, you can survive through any lockdown anywhere in the world. Because these were really intense lockdowns.
Actually, yeah, in China, it hit you guys hard. Let's see about that.
They were really intense. And to make it worse, China... I know they will kill me for this, but it's like you're so much monitored and spied on, everything from your phone to almost everything you do. You're known. They know where you are and what you're doing, what you're thinking, what you're typing, everything is known by the government. You're basically in a surveillance state. So in a system where they're implementing a nationwide lockdown, it's really strict, very strict. And the punishments were really severe if you broke them. Very severe. Very severe. Cancellation of visa, deportation, fines. It was tough. But, you know, the funny thing is that during COVID, there was a lot of misinformation in the case that much as the virus came from here, when you, an African, goes on the streets, those that, I wouldn't say most of them, but those that aren't so much educated or would look at you as the positive person, like they come and just cover their faces and put on their masks and run away from you. And then in your head, you're like, I've been here all this time. I'm negative. But because there's that stereotype of, you know,
stigma.
That dark thing, which I really want to change. If only I could do my podcast in Mandarin, probably over here, maybe. But I feel it's a process. I wouldn't want to judge China so much because it's just during the past 30 years or 40 years that they're opening up to the world. And they have a history of over 5,000 years. So it's just a minute period that they're opening up and seeing, you know, black people and other races. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but it's really dark. At some point, it's really dark. And yeah.
You've made me remember a point in my life. Actually, I just moved to America and I was living in, I'm not going to mention the name of the state, because I have a lot of friends there. And but when I lived there, there was Ebola in West Africa.
Yeah.
So there was Ebola in West Africa. I just come to America and people did the same thing to me. Like, hey, you go to the store and somebody's walking away from you. They want to talk to you, run away from you. Because they think you have Ebola. I'm like, Ebola is West Africa. I am from Uganda. And I've been in the US when Ebola started in Africa. I don't have Ebola, you know, like, but like some people think like that, which I think it's, I don't want to, like, I was going to say, which I think is pretty stupid or pretty ignorant, but we go through that. We go through a lot of that. So when you live in foreign countries, you get to know. But I definitely agree with you. Like COVID was a time that showed us a lot. We learned a lot. It was a hard time, but it opened a lot of our eyes. That's how I started my podcast, through COVID. But I wanted to ask you the question. When did you make the decision to go to China, and what made you want to go to China?
Yeah. Okay. The decision was kind of, on my side, was kind of easier for me because my sister was already here. She was already here a year before. So after my S6, you know, I can't say I enjoyed my senior six VAC because during that time you're applying and all that. This is like 2018. I came here for undergraduate studies. So my sister, who was already here before, kind of helped me the whole process, and I came here. The reason why China, because I really wanted to study abroad, to be honest. Though when I was doing my senior six, I had my career in mind. Mm-hmm. But kind of I wanted to be abroad. I think it was just of excitement, you know, the thrill of it. and I always wanted that naive thing of I wanted to touch snow and all that.
Yeah.
But on the logical part of it, China was among, at that time, the Chinese scholarships were quite easy to get. There was no much technical requirements or technical difficulties as it is right now. But then it was very easy to get. Just have your papers on point and quite a good recommendation letter and study plan. And you're basically confirmed to get it. So that's how my sister got in. That's how I got in. So it was quite easier at that point.
Okay.
So that's why we chose China.
And you just, what did you want to study in China?
I wanted to study computer science, but then they gave me software engineering, which is basically the same.
Mm-hmm.
And I was studying in English, to be lucky. I was quite lucky that my thing was in English. But you obviously have to study the language so that you can have some communication skills here and there. However, there are those that, you know, with Chinese international education system, it's two fronts. The first front is when you come on their government scholarship, bilateral scholarship within Uganda and China, most cases you are studying in Chinese language.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to do one year Chinese language course, and then you do your main course. That's if you say bilateral agreement or Chinese government scholarship. But if you're coming through another scholarship avenue, or maybe you're coming on private, most likely you're doing English or partly Chinese on as a course unit. The education system for foreigners is, I would say, 50-50, because to be honest, I don't know. A lot of things I'll say on this podcast. Okay. Just to say, on the education system for foreigners, if you're doing business, engineering, IT, I'd recommend China for you, because they have the equipment, they have the research, they have the people who can, you know. But if you're doing medical courses, I wouldn't recommend China for you, because one, the language. Two, I've had friends who have had difficulties converting their Chinese degree, and then you do pharmacy tests or doctor tests.
Mm-hmm.
Back home, and most of them fail it. So I wouldn't advise someone to do the medical courses here. But if you're doing engineering, IT, business, yes. If you're doing something to do with politics, especially this Marxism, yes, you can do it here. Education, yes, you can do it here. But the medical side, I wouldn't recommend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've had actually somebody on the podcast here who studied in China for medical, and he left. He's now back in Uganda, but he left after COVID. He's back working in Uganda. But yeah, it's always challenging to study in a foreign country. Like, there's a lot of things to consider, but it's you got to do what you got to do. I remember what you were talking about. You had Macari in your back of your head for like school. It's funny because for me, when I finished senior six, when I was in senior six, I wanted to do aviation, and I didn't have any other option in my head, university-wise, whether Makerere, whether where, I didn't have any option. So when I finished Form 6 and I couldn't go to the aviation school, I struggled to finding a university where to go. I applied to Cavendish, I applied to Chambogo, I applied to Makerere, I was applying everywhere. And I got accepted in all of them. And the degrees, the courses they were giving me, it was like development science, IT. And these are things I'd never planned, thought about to do. And I was just figuring it out at the time. And I just decided. And then my dad told me he didn't have money for me to go to university at the time. So I ended up going to Makerere and I did IT, yeah, like 6 months. And after 6 months, that's when like coming to America happened. And I came to America to do my aviation. So that's what I did here. But I didn't have any other plan B for university-wise in Uganda. And I was going to be stuck. I was just going to do something to know that I went to university. And I was actually going to, I don't know. I didn't know what I was going to do, but I'm glad this worked out to come here and I do something actually I wanted to do. So
the funny thing is that currently I'm reading a book called The 33 Strategies of War by Robert Greene. And then he says that if you really want to be successful in life, always have a plan A, never have a plan B, because you always put your options in the plan A.
Yeah, so that is true. That is true. Mine wasn't planned. It was just there. I didn't have another option. Like, I mean, I could have gone for the plan B, but I didn't have it at the time. So, but yeah, it's always good because when you only have plan A, it makes you like work harder to just think about that. You studied software engineering. Are you still in school or you graduated school?
Yeah, right now I'm still in school. I'm doing my master's in my second year. Graduate hopefully next year. Do I have plans of continuing? I think I've studied enough, honestly.
Mm-hmm. That's how I felt. I felt like that. I think I graduated college 2019. And... yeah, 2019, I graduated and I was like, you know what? I've been in school for the past 25 years. I'm done with school. Yeah. Like, that's a lot. But then I started
working. Yeah, I get you. And the funny thing with China is that international students are not allowed to work. That's the funny thing. So you don't have the work experience that you can get. It's just books, got class, have something on the side. But like formal work.
How do you have money to live?
Yeah, that's you find ways. You hustle. But you can't work. That's the thing. You can't work.
Can't work and legally.
You can't work legally. But yeah, you can do it legally, but once you're caught, you're really messed up.
Really?
You really mess up badly. And that's why most people are like, nah, China, nah. Because, you know, as a student, you need something to support you always. You can't rely on money from home and all that.
But yeah. Even in America, it's like that. I mean, but in America, you can apply. They tell international students you can only work at the school where you're studying. Like, schools will hire you. But you can also apply for external jobs if you prove that you're struggling financially. So then they'll give you permission to work outside school, but then they limit you hours you can work. I think it's about 20 hours a week that you can work as a student.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
Oh, it's a one-way interview.
No, ask me the question. This is a collaboration.
What's your view on China right now?
My view on China? I really don't have any. In what perspective? Let me see. Like, well, it's just a whole, like the whole of what?
In the whole, because most people, you know, right now there's that cold war between US and China.
Okay.
And when you ask the Chinese what they think about US,
mm-hmm.
they first say US is great, US is good, but then US is also bad.
Yeah.
You know?
It's funny you say that. It's funny you say that because I've had a lot of, this is mostly in the Americans. I mean, I'm American because I'm a citizen here, but like, I'm Ugandan. Like, that's first before anything. But people who were born here, who grew up here, the Americans who grew up here, their perspective of China is different, because if that's what you're asking me, they hate China, they think I think your president or something, they don't like him, they think he's like a dictator.
A dictator, something.
So I don't really know much about that, and I try to avoid myself from things I don't know. Ebitankwatako, like things that, like, that's not gonna bring food to my table, so I'm not gonna sit down and argue it. If I can go to work and do what. But people who are Americans, they know a lot of history and back history and all how that happened, because, oh, we are in a war with China, we are in this and this with China. Personally, I don't have any negative thoughts about China, whatever they did or whatever that happened between them and America. It would been to be our way. For me, I'm gonna wake up, go to work, make my money, and sit home, take care of my family. But I don't know. I think the perspective of that is for them. For me, I don't have anything against China. I don't, to be honest, I don't think I have any friend, Chinese native friend, like a person. All the people I know from China are Ugandans who live in China, you know? Like, I don't have a friend in China. And if you're watching this from China and you are a native of China, I need some Chinese friends. So that's it. If
They are good people. They are good people.
people tune in on your podcast, or if they see this on your social media, I could use some friends from China. I love people from all over the world, and that's how I've lived my life. I don't hate people. Not even China. I know this question was specifically for China, but I cannot hate what I don't know. And I'm not this type of person who is gonna hate somebody because somebody hates another person. It's you and him. Like, that's your issue. For me, if somebody didn't treat me wrong, I'm not gonna hate them because he hurt my friend or something like that. I mean, it would depend. There's a lot of other things that will go in place. I think for me, my opinion would be more of the US, you know, because I live here and things that affect me are here. So I can give an opinion on the US, but I can't give an opinion on China because I don't live there and I don't know the relationship they have with the US. That's above my pay grade. But in the US, I love being here. I get an opportunity to work. There's a lot of things we deal with, but these are things that foreigners have to deal with. Even you will deal with them in China. So other than that, nothing. I want to go to visit China sometime. I've never been to China.
Yeah, you should come. It's an amazing country.
Yeah.
What I liked about China, which I hope maybe like Uganda should adopt, is that the way they preserved their history and culture, and even adapted modern technologies to it. You know, still, maybe let me give an example which everyone knows: the Great Wall, still preserved on point. I read somewhere where they are giving opportunities for tourists to access it through VR, virtual reality. Nice. Their language, their culture being preserved, their history. A Chinese child of 5 years is able to list all the dynasties that were there for 5,000 years by head. But when I was studying in Uganda, man, I got to know Kabalega in a very negative light. Until I grew up, I was like, wasn't a rebel, he was a liberator. You know, our history is so distorted, our cultures are just getting more distorted, and I believe that's what makes us unique, we as Ugandans or we as Africans. And that's why I think these people are developing faster. I think for me, I made a survey on my own that countries that kept their history and culture are the ones that are now developing. Look at India, look at China, look at Western Europe or the UK. Right now, I'm trying to see the Arabs are trying to bring it out, but they seem to be so much tied to Islam. But still, you have a sense of a community that has the history and culture to back it up, you know. But Africa is like we're just a dumping ground for everything, and ours is considered secondary, and others is the first, which I find negative. And it all goes to our education system.
Oh, exactly. I was gonna bring it back to education system because it's funny, I was just sitting down, was it yesterday, and trying to remember if they ever taught us sound. I have my daughter, and I was turning on the thing on YouTube where they say A for Africa or something like that, and then they do the sound. I'm like, I don't remember my teachers teaching me that, or like even the animal sounds. Like, I don't remember that. But kids these days, they know the sounds of all the animals, but there are things that we study that are not I'm not gonna say important, but like the things we focus on, the things that they teach us in school. And these kids that I was giving an example on my last episode, that we had this one kid who was always number one in class. He knew everything, book smart. But once he left school, joining life, he didn't know. Like, he had a hard time to deal with life, like in Kampala, yeah. You know, like to hustle every day, like the real life things. They don't know them, but they know the book, because we do a lot of cramming, but winter, read for in the morning, you know, a lot of that stuff. But nobody's preparing you for the world. You know, we're going to cram Kabalega. I mean, the things that to pass exams, but once you pass those exams, then it goes with that. But I think we need to focus on things that are going to stay with us and help us and learn, and the history, the culture that you're talking about. Like, we need to learn a lot of that. And yeah, it's crazy how people do it in other countries. I was going to ask you about the language.
In my senior one, I remember it was my second day in high school, I was caned for speaking Luganda.
Me too.
After I look at it and I'm like, I don't know. After when I think about that moment and how I've been exposed to our various cultures, it makes me sad, you know.
Yeah.
And this is like 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's not too far. 12 years ago.
Yeah.
So, it's crazy.
They focused a lot on caning us and stuff than actually helping us, like, be better. But you talk about the language. How did you pick up with the language that the Chinese, and can you speak it now fluent?
My fluency in Chinese is not that good. I can sustain a conversation, but not for long.
Yeah.
But I can understand. I probably have difficulty in writing it. You know, it's not our typical alphabet.
Mm-hmm.
It has its own characters, you know.
How long does it take you to write one calligraphy?
Why? For me, it takes me time. You know?
Yeah.
Takes me time, because for me, I pass up to cram it and then I do it, yeah, and then write it. But others, it comes natural.
Now, is one block like a sentence? I saw. Do you know this guy on Instagram who is what's his name? This kid is doing a lot of comedy of Chinese. Hey, boss.
Yeah.
Mbamaze, you know that guy?
I know that guy.
Shout out, I forgot his username, but I'm going to have to tag him in this. So he has a video where he went to this one building in Kampala that has those alphabet, and then he was trying like to read them. And I look at them like, does that one block of calligraphy words, is it like a sentence, or is it just one letter?
It's just a word.
Oh, really?
Most just cases, a word. It's a word.
Yeah.
Most cases, it's a word. Most cases it's a word, but the beauty with their characters is that it's not so much like English. Maybe 500 words is more, let's say, a full page on Microsoft Word.
Mm-hmm.
There are 500 characters. The content can be 3 pages.
Oh, wow.
So like, there's more content in just a few characters, if I'm to say. Yeah, but once you learn how to do the characters, man, it's nice.
Yeah.
It's nice. The calligraphy is nice.
So tell us.
And that guy, I've already wanted him to come to China.
Yeah.
They should bring him here, because he's promoting in a serious way.
You see, the first one I've ever seen, I was like, this is funny. I mean, some people out there might find it not funny, or maybe I don't know how people will look at it negative. People nowadays, they can find anything and they find a negative thing out of it. I think it's funny. What he says, is that even a word, or he's just making sounds?
I've only seen one video where he said the real word, ni hao ma.
Ni hao ma. Yeah, I think I've seen that.
How are you?
Yeah.
I think he was advertising for techno.
Yeah, techno. I saw that one. And it had a Chinese lady in the background. Yeah.
That was good, ni hao ma. But most cases, nah, it's just sounds.
He just comment. What's his name? I don't have my phone on me, but like, I'll find him on, I'll tag him on Instagram. He's funny. He's a funny guy. I enjoy his work. It's amazing. Hopefully, he should get to go to China and he make that video in China, that would be crazy.
Yeah, he'll be very popular here. He'll be very popular.
Yeah. So, Mr. John Paul, we are coming close to the end of the podcast for the people listening, but I have a few questions that I want us to talk about before we end this. What is your future goal? People ask me a lot about this on my podcast, and I want to hear from other podcasters, like, what is your future goal with your podcast, and where do you see yourself going with it?
I think when it comes to future goal, I think I'm already starting it. I think if you see my shirt, you're Sanin Media. So this was started like 2 months ago. I wanted to add the podcast, the journals where I was writing, my blog site, studios. I'm trying to learn videography because I find it so fascinating and interesting. Video editing, videography, shooting here and there. And also events. The events part is recently I was one of the organizers and sponsors of an African gala night here in Wuhan. So such events that bring Africans together in a specific area or just area, I want to be part of it. I believe that would be a better way of, you know, bringing us together and all that thing. So I created the Sanin Media thing just to incorporate the podcast, the events, the studios, and the journal part. The future goal is for it to be big. I don't know where I'll be in the next 5 years, if China or Uganda or anywhere, but anywhere that I am, I just want to change the African narrative. I sort of think that it is the outsiders, I mean the foreigners, who are the biased thinking of Africa. But even we, the Africans, we don't.
Right.
We really don't. We think negative of ourselves. And it can't start from the out. It has to start from inside. So even if I'm based on the continent, let me use that platform to empower us to, you know, to reach us further. So that's my future goal. Being out there, changing the African narrative and, you know, being big and collaborating. Keyword is collaborating. I believe collaboration will make things stronger and bigger. But as I said, collaborating, there's something that has entered my mind that I've noticed. You know, when you're doing something for, I would say, Africa, in quotes, you're trying to promote Africa, you're trying, let's say, like what Bodamaya is doing and others. One hand is doing the work. Another hand is trying to, I would say, control your fellow Africans who are trying to stab you in the back. I find it hard because an Indian can support an Indian. But in my experience, or where I am, it's very hard for many Africans to support you, which I find it weird. It's like either we have that self, we have that competition, we have that envy. We rarely put ourselves or pitch ourselves to support one whole collective individual. Usually someone has to start from scratch and battle and what and So one thing I'll just be like, as I'm trying to do all these things, let us support each other. If anyone's doing anything, let's support. Let's not look at the competition or the thing, because to be honest, I haven't received any penny from what I'm doing ever since I started the podcast.
Yep.
Not even a one coin or shilling. But I still get excited when I get a new guest.
Exactly. I like that you mentioned that, because a lot of people think about it in money. And I was doing this interview at NRG when I was in Uganda. You get to a point where you can get money out of it, but at this point the input is more than the money you get out. Think about your time, think about the equipment that you're using, you know. Whoever is doing a podcast now, with wherever they are at, with the lower listenership that they have, give credit to those people. Like, they putting in a lot than what they're getting out. Like, it's not, sometimes it's not always about money. Sometimes it's about the passion that we have and the goals that we have to change us. And money will come. But once you put money ahead of what you're doing, if the money is not there, then it's going to kill your dream. Whereas if you are persisted with what you're doing, then money will come, will find you. And I'm glad for what you're doing and the work that you're doing. Mentioning collaboration, that's something that's big for me. I never want to compete. I usually say collaboration over competition, because I believe through collaborations when how we learn and how we improve each other. And also, one of the motto of my podcast, I don't usually use it a lot everywhere, it's like, We rise by lifting each other up. When you're going up, who are you bringing with you?
Like, yeah, yeah,
hold
true.
Somebody's hand. Like, when you're going up there, bring somebody with you. And you never know. These are these things about life. Is life is funny. Life is funny.
Yeah.
Today you might be in this place, in this position, in whatever you are. Tomorrow you might not. And then the other person will be in that position. And when those people remember what you've done for them, they will make an impact. I'm going to finish with it. I'll say this last story of one of the guys. And I'm not going to mention his name because he doesn't want to be put in the spotlight. But this guy, back in 2017, he wanted to buy a camera. He's an artist in Uganda, not a musician. He's a painter. Mm. He paints and he takes photographies and he does videos. Back in 2014, he wanted to buy a camera in the US through a friend. So a friend is he met me on social media. He's like, hey, you're going to Uganda? Would you take this camera to this guy? He wants to buy a camera from the US. I was like, sure, I'll take it. They buy the camera off Amazon, they ship it to my house, I pack it, and then take it to Uganda. And I met this guy in Uganda, I gave him the camera. He was so excited. He was happy. He's like, man, thank you very much for bringing this camera for me. I appreciate it. Because there's a lot of people who carry things back home, and they say, hey, they stole it at the airport, Biabulideko Airport. You know, sometimes it's true, sometimes it's not. Like, sometimes it's true, sometimes it's not. And hey, they stole it at the airport. So you never know as a person who bought it. But I gave this guy this camera and he was so happy. He once said, I want to give you a gift. I'm a painter. Can I paint you a picture? He painted a good picture on canvas. He gave it to me and I brought it back to the U.S. No, actually he painted it after I'd come back to the U.S. and he sent it to me. I framed it and then I hung it up. He also told me, hey, I do a lot of graphics and I do a lot of videos, cameras. If there is anything you need help in Uganda, I can help you. I started working with this guy on these projects. He made paintings and I wanted pictures taken. I wanted things done. He's like, yeah, I can do that for you. I wanted graphics done, some of my best graphics. He makes those posters for me for my live show. He made all the graphics that we use on the live show. But that friendship started with me doing a good deed for him. And the work he has done for me is worth more than the camera even I was taking for him. Like for the more than 5 years, almost 6 years, 7 years that we've been together. Yeah, 7 years. The work he has done for me for all 7 years is worth more than that camera. Like if I chose to store the camera, but that good deed that I did for him built our friendship that has saved me a lot of more money, a lot of money, and it's a good action to do. So I'm saying that story to show you that sometimes you look at people and you don't see what they add onto your life at that time, but in the long run, that person, you never know how he can help you or save you from a lot of other things that you need in the future. So we need each other.
Yeah,
sure. So, Mr. John Paul, I have three questions that I usually ask my guests. You said you've marathoned my episodes, so you know these three questions. But I'm going to ask you one question. What is a life lesson you've learned in life to this point?
Very many, to be honest. Very many. I don't know if to list all of them or to list the big one.
Just give me the big one.
The big one. Mm. Stay humble.
Yeah.
Stay humble. Stay really humble. Because there was a time, not so long ago, where I thought I kind of made it, you know, it's the way success blinds you. You know, when you keep on winning, you feel like you're going for the next thing. There was, I kept on winning these awards recognized by the school, by the Chinese government and everything. So I felt like, you know, I'm invincible, like Arsenal at that time.
Hey, did you really have got it? Got to it out. Yeah.
Wait, by the way, I'm an Arsenal
fan. Oh, you are? Okay.
I know
okay.
You're an Arsenal fan, so okay. We're together.
Okay.
So, and then there was this competition that I was going for. I didn't bother to put in any effort. I just trusted myself that I'll just go and speak because it was like an English contest thing. But I had to prepare my speech. I had to prepare my my PPT and everything. And this and a friend of mine, a Chinese friend of mine, was like, "Can I help you? Because it's about Chinese culture. Can I help you with the PPT and what?" And I was like, "Nah, I think I have it. I can do it myself and what." Man, I presented and I thought I won. End of the day, I was the last. And I learned that lesson tough.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what, going forward, let me be humble. Let me act like I don't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
And let me listen to people's advice, mm-hmm. whether good, bad, listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, never think you're up there. You're not the first, you're not the last.
Yep.
So that's the lesson that I want everyone to learn. Be humble. Mm-hmm. That's something that I like from you.
Yeah.
Because when I approached you on X, I thought maybe you would take long replying, but you took instant and even you followed me back. And I was like, wow, this guy, you know. So yeah, be humble. Yeah. That's a life lesson.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I always say that, stay humble. Stay humble. No matter what levels you get to, just stay humble. And I pray to God to remind me that all the time, every day, no matter what, just stay humble. What gets you excited about life?
I don't know. Many things. You know, I'm one person who, I'm not so spiritual, unfortunately. I don't seek highs from alcohol, drugs, anything. So, what really makes me excited are when I do something and someone out there appreciates the work that I do. I think that's the only high I can get in life.
Mm-hmm.
If I, like what happened to me, I think 2 days back, I started second guessing about my podcast because we have over like 90 episodes and I put so much work in them. And, you know, the thing we are looking for guests and all that, you know, you spend some money on the merch, spend money on the website, the equipment. And I thought, I think I've done enough. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I'm tired. I really wanted to give up at that point. But then just as I walked out, there's a friend of mine, "Hey, JP, you're the podcast guy. There's a friend partner with you. Gary likes your work. He likes your work and likes what you're doing. The one partner with you." Trust me, that lifted my mood for the whole day.
Yeah.
For the whole day. And I was like, you know what? I'm not stopping on this thing. Let me have the fire for the next 5 weeks or month. So what keeps me moving is if you do something and someone out there that you don't know, okay, people that you know telling you that can kind of be boring because, you know, you always say this. But someone that you don't know randomly appreciates your work, then that's amazing. I don't know how good that feeling is. It's good.
It is.
That's what keeps me going.
It is really good. And I'm glad you shared that. It's a reminder for me. It's a reminder for all podcasters out there. And I would wish other podcasters will tune into this episode to just listen to both of us just share our journeys and what we go through, because it's the same thing I go through. Like, people out there might look at it, "Oh my God, this guy has this podcast. This guy is like this." But there are days where nobody's watching and you feel like heavy. You feel like, is it going? Like, I feel like I'm done. I feel like, no, it's not going, it's heavy. But people out there think you're doing a great job, but people reach out to you, it's like, "Man, hey, you're doing great." And I have those days too, and I'll be open. I'll tell people, like, yeah, I have days where it's heavy on me, I feel low, I feel like nothing, it's not going. But we just need to lift our heads up and just keep going. On those worst days, that's when actually you need to do more. Like, you need, it's just a reminder. There's a lot of people that we started with the podcast, and actually somebody who inspired me to start a podcast quit. that's funny. The person who inspired me to start a podcast quit, and she's no longer doing a podcast. But I was like, you know what, I'm gonna go with this thing. And sometimes it's all about mindset. But yeah, I definitely agree with you. Like, you know what, even if you have the best mindset, like, there are days you're going to go through it, but once you make it through, you just have to make sure you make it through and keep your head above the water and don't drown in. My other question, who would you like to see on this podcast next? And you're going to help me to find that person to be my next guest.
You know, the funny thing is I prepared for that question.
I should have started with that at the beginning of the podcast. Huh?
I prepared for that question. Two people. Darren Bain is my cousin over there in Canada. He has an amazing work. He has his foundation, Young Eye Foundation, Young Eye Initiative, helping the youth, both in Uganda and then in Canada. Amazing work, amazing work. I don't know. Sometimes I look at his work and I'm like, yeah, for someone his age, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. I really want you to really talk to him mm-hmm. and see how he can work things out with you. And I can share you with him. I can help you get him. Another person is Louisa. She has, like you who's a parent, she has Kunda Kids, which is something that helps. It's like, I would say a children's book or what, but it tells African stories to kids in an African way, not the usual Western folk tales that you listen to when you're growing up. It's more of the African. Mm-hmm. She's currently based in the UK, but you know, she'll be home. She'll be in Uganda soon.
Yeah.
Definitely amazing work. Amazing work that she's doing.
I would love.
Definitely has to be on this podcast.
Yeah, definitely. I would love to. And it reminds me, I don't know if you've heard of the Kunda and Friends. I don't know if it's the same.
Yeah, that's her.
Kunda and Friends.
Yeah.
Because my daughter watches that on YouTube. She loves Kunda and Friends. Yeah. She's all about Kunda and Friends, and that's our favorite. It's Africa, Afrobeat, and anytime you put it on the TV, she just looks at it. That would be cool, actually, to talk to her. That would be amazing. So, yeah. Connect me to both of them. I like to talk about creatives who are in Uganda or from Uganda, whatever they do. So we get to know each other and people get to find about them on the podcast. So once again, John Paul, it was a great conversation talking to you, getting to know about you. I wish you the best of luck on your podcast and anything you need for the podcast. If you feel down and you need somebody to talk to, you have my contacts and my number. We can share, brainstorm, and any ideas you have for the podcast, for helping each other grow, I'll be down for it. So just let's take
a minute. Thank you so much. That's so humbling. You know that nice. Have someone I can work with here and there. Nice.
And if you want me on your, I mean, we can collaborate on this if you want to post it on your social media or if you want me to be a guest on your podcast, that's something I can do too. We can speak to that.
Both. So, yeah. But okay, you should be a guest on my podcast because you're doing something. And you're in the diaspora.
Yeah. All right, my brother. Thank you very much and stay blessed. Hey there, my name is Bonnie Chibuka, the podcast host of the Ugandan Boy Talk Show. Thanks for watching and listening to my podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to hit the like button and don't forget to subscribe. Also, leave a feedback on this podcast so that's how we grow. Thank you very much and be blessed.